Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins three lines from the top of Daf Nun Tes. Before we begin the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where we see a topic heading that we call the Nosei. Up till now, we've been discussing the issue of sizes of ksomim, of stains found on a garment, which are either associated with a nida, a menstrual blood flow, or, depending on the size, we might be able to ascribe it to a bug that was squashed and the blood is from it. The topic heading that we have reads, Nimsa Oleho Kegris Ve'od. It was found a stain on the garment of a gris ve'od in size. That means a little more than a gris. The gris was a known size, the size of a certain type of bean. The oisoi oid ritzufa boi machilas, and connected to that little extra amount is a dead bug. We should just, for the sake of review, mention that up till a gris in size is ascribed to a bug. More than a gris in size is more than would come from this machilas, this dead bug. And hence we have no choice but to ascribe it to the woman. In this case, we have, in fact, more than a gris in size. However, attached to this stain is a dead bug. So now the Gemara. Itmar. Nimtza oleho kegris vioid. Vioisa oid ritzufa boi macholas. There was found on her garment a gris viod in size of blood stain, and that little extra piece, that little extra, that which constituted the amount above the gris, there was ritzufavo attached to it, a dead bug. Rabbi Chanina Omer Temea. Rabbi Chanina says, sorry, we have to declare the woman Temea. Rabbi Yanai Omer Tahora. Rabbi Yanai says, no, we can consider the woman Tahora. Rabbi Chanina Omer Temea. Rabbi Chanina says she is Tamea Kitalia. When do we ascribe a stain to a bug? Bikigris. When there is a gris in size. Bikigris we owe Lotaya. But more than a gris in size, we don't ascribe to the bug. And we just look at objective quantities or objective dimensions. And in this case, there is more than a gris, and we cannot be toila it. We cannot ascribe it to something other than the woman. Rabbi Yanai Omer Tahora. The woman is declared as Torah. Hani Mili. When do we say that we're not Toilah? When is it that we do not ascribe? Hecha de lo ritzufa bo macholas. That's when there is no bug attached to it. Aval hecha de ritzufa bo macholas. But in the event that a bug is attached to the stain, mucha milsa. It's clear, it's proof. Dehai ve'od, the extra amount above the acceptable ascribing amount, that extra amount is dama cholesu. It's clear that it's from the bug. So now, if we associate that little extra amount with the bug, poshle kigris, then there would remain a gris. Kevan de ba'al motalio, since in general, with a gris in size or less than that, we ascribe it to something other than the woman. Hochanami talio, so too in this case, you've got a gris. That is an amount we are allowed to ascribe to an outside source, and the woman will remain tahora. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya, nisasko bikigris. A woman was dealing with, we'll say, blood, that the entire amount of blood that she was dealing with, she was, like you would have this situation when someone's, let's say, cleaning meat or a chicken, and so they're involved with dealing with blood, and so you have a woman that was involved with blood, and she found a stain on her garment, minim soleh bikigris viod mahu. Let's point out that this question lasts a number of lines. As you can see, we have a long question marking the shin that's encircled the she'ela with a descending vertical dashed line to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating the length of this question. So Rav Yirmiyah, once again, he asks about a woman that was involved with a gris of a red substance, and they found on her garment a stain measuring a gris plus mahu. Tiboy the Rabbi Hanina, Tiboy the Rabbi Yanai. This question can be raised in light of both opinions that we saw above. You'll notice their names were underlined, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yanai, from the previous discussion. Tiboy the Rabbi Hanina. We can ask the question according to Rabbi Hanina, who in the previous discussion with the gris beod and the bug attached to it, and he was machmir, he was stringent above. Ad kan lokam Rabbi Hanina hasam tamea. It could be that up till now, Rabbi Hanina declared above that she is Tamea, Ela Delonis Aska. She wasn't involved with any substance there. She simply found a stain. And he ruled that when you find a stain, so it came from her. Aval Hocha Dinis Aska Talia. But here, where she was actively involved with a gris of, let's say, of chicken blood. So Talia, she can ascribe this stain to that which she was involved with. Therefore, we can say that the gris, the ode that she found, breaks down as follows. A gris is from that which she was involved with, and the ode, that's from a bug. So the woman remains tahora. Oy dilma, or possibly. So up till now, let's emphasize we were dealing with the stringent opinion above, showing how in this case he could be lenient. Oh, the more possibly, afilu Rabbi Yanai, the Omar Tahora. It could be even according to Rabbi Yanai, who we saw above in the Grisvi Ode case, to be lenient. Hani mili hecha diritzufa b'machkoles. He was lenient only because there you had tangible evidence of how the extra amount of blood got there, meaning the bug was attached. But where you don't have tangible evidence attached to it, like in this case, then we can't ascribe the stain to something else, to that which she was involved with. So the question has been raised. Toshma. So we have a Tanaic source. Nisasko be'odoim ein toile bo shochar. If she was involved with a red substance, and she found a stain, let us say, that was black, so she can't ascribe the black stain to the substance which was red, which she was involved with. Bimuat ein toile boi meruba. If she was involved with a small amount of substance, we can't ascribe that to a large type stain. Hey chidomi, what are the circumstances of this source? Lav ki hai gavna, is it not like this case where she was involved with a gris and she found a gris v'od? In other words, it's a case of muat and she finds a lot, and we say ein toile. Loi, that's not what this source is talking about. Rather, what is this source talking about? Kagon dinis asko bekigris. The woman was involved with a gris amount of blood. V'nimtzolel shnei grisim va'od. And she found on her garment two grisim plus. And therefore, well, the source says that she will be tamea because ein toile bo meruba. Well, then that would be fairly obvious. If she was involved with one gris and she found two gris plus, even if you were to ascribe one of those two gris into that which she was involved with, you're still left with a balance of a gris plus, and that is an amount that we can't ascribe to a bug. So the Gemara answers why it's not so obvious, why that case needs to be taught. Mahu detema, without this, I might have thought that in a case that she was involved with one gris and she finds two gris plus, I would have thought like this. Shkol kigris tzibar, take the gris of a bird blood that she was involved with, shodi bei mitzi, and imagine it being in the middle of the two gris plus stain. And if you do that, if you take the one gris and put it in the middle, and imagine it in the middle, on either side you have less than a gris. You've got a half a gris plus a mashu. Zil Hocholeko Shira, go to the left of it, and you don't have the amount that is Tome, Zil Hocholeko Shira. You go to the other side of it, also you don't have an amount that would be Tome. So that's what I would have thought. Komash Malon, that's what the source tells me, that if you you can't do that. You can't say that. You don't imagine the gris amount that she was working with to be in positioned in the middle of this two gris plus stain and to reason as we did. But rather, we will be machmir. But that's in that case. But as far as the question that was raised, the Rav Yirmiyahu question of Nisaska Begris, of Nimsal Begris, well, that we don't have a resolution for. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance in at the outside margin under our No Say heading, and we have written Nimtzoleo Min Echad. If she finds a stain of some color that looks like blood, one of the blood colors, so Toilebo Kama Minin, we can ascribe to it other colors. So that is a lenient type ruling, and that's what we're going to see now in the Gemara. Omar Rava Nimtzoleo Min Echad, if she finds on her garment a color that looks like a blood stain. We've seen different expressions in past dapim, and Rashi quotes them here. Kilar, which was some type of red substance, or sraf, or a sap of some kind of trees that have this red color. So she was, let us say, So she found a stain like that, and then she found another stain, even if it's not the same color as the original stain. So Rava says that if she finds one color, one type of color, she can allow the other colors to be associated with that particular one. The practical application of this is very simply that if that one color that she found, we can say came from some outside source, like in the case of the sap of the tree or the kilor substance, these other stains will be able to be associated with that, and she'll remain tahora. The Gemara asks, "Meisve nisaskub adam ein toile boi shachar." Here, the Gemara says that if she was involved with red, you can't ascribe to it black. Isn't that the same situation as what Rava is describing? So the Gemara answers, "Nisasko shiny, active involvement with one color, that is a different case. So since she was actively involved with something red, so how can we say that a black stain is associated with that red? But in a case where she simply found on her garment something that was red in color, we can ascribe something that might have a different hue to that, and say just like this original reddish thing came on her without her knowledge, so too the other colors as well got onto her garment without her knowledge. Iko Diamri. Now we have a second version of this teaching of Rava. Nisasko b'min echad. Here you see we've dashed underlined the word nisasko in contrast with the first version of Rava, where he simply said nimtza. Here she was involved with a certain type of substance that had a color that would be a stain related color. Toila bo boi kamo minim. She can ascribe other minim to that. The Gemara asks, here we have a head-on contradiction. Here it's quite the opposite. If she was involved with something that was red, she can't explain or ascribe the black stain that she finds to that substance that she was involved with. So the black stain would be something that would make her Tameah. So how can Rava say that if she's involved with dealing with one type of color, other color stains can be associated with it? The Gemara answers, Kikoma Rava, Rava that said you can be toila different colors to that which she was involved with, this Askabatarna Goylis. Rava was dealing with a very specific case. She was dealing with cleaning a chicken. The Isba Kamo Mine Doma. when in a chicken, you'll find different colors of blood in it, so that since she was involved with cleaning the chicken, and we know the chicken has different colors in it, so that if she finds she finds a few stains on her garment, they can all be associated with the chicken that she was involved with. Maisa b'isha, and then the Mishnah went on to say that the rules of ksamim were stated, they were not given to be a source of chumrah, of stringency, but rather they are, we can be mekil. And that's what it was on that basis that we saw Rabbi Akiva explaining to his Talmidim regarding the case of the woman who had a bruise, that the woman was able to ascribe her stain to the bruise, being that the bruise could open up and start bleeding again. So it was based on that based on this principle that the rules of Ksamim were given to be lenient with and not to be strict with. The Gemara asks, how can you say that the rules of Ksamim were given as something to be lenient with? V'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source that says, Lo omru chachomim es hadover lahokel elahachmir. The sages imposed the rules of stains not to be lenient, but rather to be stringent. Omar Ravina, the Ravina explains, Lo lahokel al divrei Torah elahachmir al divrei Torah. The basic institution of staining and a woman being declared tamea as a result, that is in fact a stringency, because from the Torah standpoint, a woman does not become tamea unless there's an actual blood flow from her body. And here we're talking about the discovery of a stain. So that is rabbinic, and that in fact is a stringency over that which the Torah teaches. However, uksamim atzmon derabbanan. However, when you're within the realm of uksamim, within the realm of how to rule regarding a particular stain, there we can be lenient, and we don't have to go in the direction of being stringent. If we look in the Rashi, you'll see lo lahokel al divrei Torah, hay de gozer rabbanan b'ksamim, that which the rabbanan originally made a ruling concerning stains, lahachmir al divrei Torah, that is a stringency over the rules of the Torah itself. Shelo lahokel b'nida gemura, so as not to come to be lenient with a real nida. Often the rabbanan impose restrictions to protect things that are of a Torah nature. Umiuk somim atzmon the rabbanan, but the basic stain itself is rabbinic in nature. Ve'azlinon ben the kula, ve'talinon b'chol midi. And when it comes to judging a stain, if you have an opportunity to ascribe it to something else other than a blood flow, we will do that. Aid shehu nasun, and the Mishnah mentioned a checking cloth that the woman had found under her pillow, and she found on it a circular blood stain. The Mishnah says she would be tahora. However, if it was a stripe, then Rabbi Tzadok said it would be tameh. Ibaya laho mi pligi rabbanon olei Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok olei. Would the rabbanon be are they arguing with him, and they wouldn't meet or are they not arguing with him? We should point out that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok in the Mishnah, if a stripe of blood is found on the checking cloth, no matter what its size, even if it's a kol shehu, it would be she would be tamea according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. So here our Gemara is asking, do the Rabbanan disagree with that and say that, listen, if it's just a stripe of a culture of a negligible size, she won't be tamea? Or maybe they agree with him, Toshma. So we have here, you'll notice the triangles, these are attempts to answer this particular question. So you have a triangle here, and the second line from the bottom, another one will appear. Toshma kesem oruch mitzdaref. If a stain appears on a garment and it's long, so even though it's long and very narrow, you can curl it up, so to speak, and evaluate if it will have a dimension of a gris v'od. However, tipen ein mitzarfin. Individual droplets of stains are not mitzarf. Money, who is the author of this source? E. Reb Lozer Reb Tzadok Lomali Tziruf. Why would he have to talk about it, the long stripe being joined together to form a gris v'od? Ha'omar Moshech Kol Shehu Tomei. He says that even any size, even a negligible size stripe of blood is considered tomei. El Olav Rabbanon. So this source must be according to the Rabbanon, Shma Mino Pliki. So you see from here that they argue that they are not willing to declare Tomei a Moshech Kol Shehu thing, like Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok was willing to. This source is needed according to Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok, and he does require Tziruf. V'chi Omar Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok Be'ed Avol Bekesem Lo. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok said that a negligible size stripe is a source of Tumah. That's only when it's from an aid. An aid is a checking cloth. And that was what was featured in the Mishnah. That stain came from her body. There's no question about it. However, in a case of a stain found on a garment, then she's not Tumea unless you have a gris v'od. And therefore, we have to say that, and therefore you would have to come on to this concept of tziruf, of joining together to form a gris v'od, even according to Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok. Toshma, the Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Halacha Kuro Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok. Here you have Shmuel ruling, using the term halacha. The halacha is like Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok. When you see that expression of halacha, the law is like so-and-so, that indicates that there are others that disagree. So the Gemara says, halacha michlal de pligi. From the fact that the word halacha was used, we can infer from that that there are those that argue. Shma mino, so this would conclude our question. The original question was, do the chachomim, do the rabbonim disagree with him? The answer is, yes. And what would come out from here would be a very interesting ruling, but this is something that one has to do much further research to. If we establish that Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok was talking about a checking cloth, and in that case, it's in that case that Shmuel's ruling like Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok, it would stand to reason that the Rabbanan would say that even in the case of a checking cloth, the stain that's revealed on it would have to have the size of a gris v'od in order for the woman to be declared tamea. That itself is a rather interesting and a rather novel idea. That concludes the 8th perek of Maseches Nidah. We continue to Amud Beis, where we begin the 9th perek, entitled Ho'isha Shehi Oisa. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the margin and we see our topic heading, the Nosei, Metzias Dam Al Hamayim B'Shah Shetilu Meiraglayim. We will be discussing the phenomenon of discovering blood on water at a time when urination takes place. Ho'isha Shehi Oisa Tzrocheha Rosa Dam. A woman who was relieving herself, and she found blood on the water. Rabbi Meir Omer im oimedes tamea v'im yosheves tahora. Rabbi Meir says it depends on the posture the woman had assumed at the time of her urination. If she was standing, which should be noted that in the case of women is an unusual posture, then the blood that is found in the water, though it appeared at the time she was urinating, that would be blood of nidus, of nido blood, and she would be considered tamea. However, if she was seated, she would be tahora. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, Benkach ubenkach tahora. Even if she's standing, it will be tahora. There will be more explanation or elaboration on this point later when we get into the Gemara itself. So with that, we continue in the Mishnah. Ish v'isha sha'asu tzrocheihen l'toch ha'sefel. A man and a woman had relieved themselves into the same bowl. V'nimtza dam al hamayim. And blood was found on the water. Rabbi Yossi mitaher. Rabbi Yossi declares the woman who was also there to be Tahora. Rabbi Shimon Mitame. Why? Shein derech ho'ish lehotzi dam elo shecheskas domim min ho'isha. As far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, the presence of the man is a non-factor, and you're left with the woman herself, and the woman herself is assumed to be someone who produces blood, and therefore she is Tamea. What about Rabbi Yossi was a Mitayer? Let's glance at the Rashi on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Mitayer, Deha Afilu Beisha Greitza Mitayer. Rabbi Yossi would be Mitayer even with regard to the woman by herself. Delek Elochad Sofek, a woman by herself where there's only one issue of doubt. Sofek Ben Bo Min HaMokor. The doubt is whether the blood came from the uterus. Sofek Bo Min Mokor Me Ragaim, or did it come from the urinary source? Even in such a case where there's just one element of doubt, Rabbi Yossi is lenient. The Kol Shekein Hacha, all the more so over here where we're introducing another factor or another potential source of blood, the Dilma Meish Asu. Maybe it came from the man. And maybe not. And even if it came from the woman, maybe it came from the Me Raglayim source. That's called a Sveika, and therefore Rabbi Yossi feels that we can declare her Tahora. All of these points will become the focus of the discussion as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara. Before reading the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the outside margin, the Nosei. Here the Gemara will deal with Hesber Shitas Rabbi Meir, an analysis of the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Isha Imed Es Tamea, Yoshev Es Torah. He made a distinction regarding the woman who had urinated. Maishna, the Gemara asks, Maishna Oimedes, the Amrinon Me Raglaim Hodur Lomoker Vaisi Dam. Rabbi Meir described the woman who was standing as being Tamea, and why is that? Because, as we said, the standing position for a woman is unusual, and what happens is that it causes a certain amount of internal pressure so that the urine tends to back up to where the uterus or the reproductive tract is found, and then when it eventually comes out, when the urine eventually comes out, it brings with it blood. Well, that being the case, Yosheves Nami, Namal, why not say that if she was seating, let's be metama her, and say, Me Raglaim Hodur Lamokor Vaisidam. The same thing happened, that the urine backed up and brought with it blood from the mokor. The Gemara answers, Omar Shmuel, Be Mizanekes. The case of the woman who was seated, it was the urine was coming out with in a mezanekes fashion, in a strong flow. And since it came out in a strong flow, that is an indication that it came out in its regular way. And in its regular way, there's no backup into the body, into the reproductive area. And it's not normal for blood of the mucker to come out together with urine. However, if the urine is coming out as it would in a standing position, it comes out in a more of a driplet fashion. So we say under those circumstances that there's backup and the blood from the mokor comes out with the urine. The Gemara asks, Mizanekes Nami, even in the case where the urine came out with a strong flow, and so there was no backup per se of the Mei Raglayim, Dilma Bosu de Tomu Maya Osu Dam. Maybe after she finished urination, blood came out, and let's declare her Tamea. Omar Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba offers another stage of analysis. Bioshevis Asfas Hasefel U Mizanekes Besoch Hasefel Benim Sadam Besoch Hasefel. The woman is sitting at the Sfas HaSefel, that means at the edge of the bowl. And she's sitting at the edge of the bowl and urinating with a force. The Mizanekes is the strong flow into the bowl, and blood was found inside the bowl. Now, being that she was positioned on the rim, she was seated, she had seated herself at the rim of the bowl, then Esau, if it were so, the boser, the tamumaya asa, that after the urination flow stopped, then blood came from the mokor, from the reproductive area, well, al sfas hasefeli boyele the shakuchi. It should have been found, the blood should have been found on the rim of the bowl and not in the water. The with regard to the anatomical phenomena of a woman, there are different orifices. There is an orifice from which the urine emanates, and there is one from which the reproductive tract is associated. They're not the same orifice. Therefore, if this suspicion were really true, that after the urine finished, and we're dealing with the woman sitting on the rim, the blood then came from the reproductive area, since it's a different orifice, the blood would have been found not in the water, which was the let's say the correct positioning with regard to the orifice of urination. It would have been found rather on the rim of the bowl and not in the water, had it come in fact from the mokor, from the uterus area. Omar Shmuel, the Amri law, Omar of Yehud, Omar Shmuel. Either Shmuel says, or Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel says, Halacha k'Rav Yosi, we will paskin like Rav Yosi. V'chein ori lei Rabbi Abba l'kola. Kola is the name of a person. Rabbi Abba had ruled for kola, that halacha k'Rav Yosi. And we saw Rav Yosi being a representing a an opinion of leniency in the Mishnah. Ish v'isha v'chulei. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a structural note and a topic heading. First, the structural note. The house form that you see are she'elos. This is it. We're reading our note in the margin. She'elos legabi hatolas meiraglayim shel isha aliba de tanoim shon yishuzru mishnah. We'll be asking questions that focus on this topic of a woman and her urination according to different Tanaic authorities that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Question number one will be focused on according to Rabbi Meir, and questions two and three, namely the second and third house forms later on the page, are questions that will be focused according to Rabbi Shimon. So we turn to the Gemara. Ibaya laho, ish v'isha oimdin. Man and woman are standing in urination, and blood is eventually found in the bowl. Ma li omar Rabbi Meir. What would Rabbi Meir say about that situation? We saw Rabbi Meir mentioning that a woman standing, urinating, then finding water in the bowl, the woman is Tamea. That's Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. What about the case of the man and woman? This was case number two that was featured in the Mishnah where Rabbi Meir's name did not appear. So hence the question. Ki Omar Rabbi Meir, when does Rabbi Meir say that the woman is Tamea? B'chad Sveka, when there's only one element of doubt. Namely, did the blood come from her mokar, or did it come together with the urine? And it's only from an internal injury in the urinary tract. Avol B'sveik Sveka lo matama. However, where you introduce another factor, like the case of the man present as well, whereby it's a what we call a double doubt. Did the blood come from the woman in the first place at all, or maybe it came from the man? And even if it came from the woman, maybe it came from the source of the mei raglayim and not the mokor. So in the case of Sveik Sveika, he would not metama oy dilma lo shna, or possibly Rabbi Meir does not make any distinction and simply says that if you have a woman that is standing, she is the source of the blood. That's the question. Omar Reish Lakish, the diamonds that you see here are featured in under our Mivneh heading in the margin, and that is that there's a machlokis between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the answer to this question. So Omar Reish Lakish, it is the same. In other words, Rabbi Meir will be metama even when you introduce the man into the as an additional factor. And how does Reish Lakish know this? Mimai, midalo kotani, from the fact in the Mishnah, which dealt with the case of the man and the woman, that number two section of the Mishnah, it does not say Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi Mitarin. It doesn't have Rabbi Meir included in the opinion along with Rabbi Yossi as being Mitair. So the Mishnah features Rabbi Yossi alone as Mitair. It must be that Rabbi Meir is Mitame. Ihochi. Hashto, if so, this gives rise to a question. And what's the question? Hashto, Rabbi Meir, besfeik sveiko metame. Mind you, Rabbi Meir is going to be metame in a sveik sveiko, in a double sofek, which is greater grounds for leniency. Bechad sveiko mibaya. If he's strict under lenient grounds, so that when there's only one sofek, like the case of the ratio, do I need to tell you that to begin with? So the question is, why does the Mishnah feature Rabbi Meir in the ratio as being Metameh, when even in the Seifa of the Mishnah he would have been Metameh? The Gemara answers, the reason that the ratio of the Mishnah is taught is namely where there's a woman alone, Lehodiacha Kerchei de Rabbi Yossi, Dafilu Bechad Sveiko Metar, to show us how far Rabbi Yossi goes in his lenient ruling, that even when there's only one Safek, he, Rabbi Yossi, is mitaher, declares the woman to be tahora. So along with teaching Rabbi Yossi, so the Mishnah also features Rabbi Meir. But in truth, Rabbi Meir will be metameh not only in one suffix, but even in the case of sveik sveiko, he would be metameh. The Gemara asks, v'ademiflegi b'chad suffix lo diach ha-kerecher de Rabbi Yossi, instead of teaching me the Reisha featuring a one suffix case, meaning the woman alone, to show me how far Rabbi Yossi goes, Liflugu v'sveik sveika, why not feature the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in the case of sveik sveika, lo diach ha-kerecher de Rabbi Meir, to show us how far Rabbi Meir would go in being metame, that even in a double suffix case, Rabbi Meir would be metame. So once again, if you're interested in showing how far someone will go, so you could have taught the machlokus Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in the Ish V'Isha case to show us how far Rabbi Meir would go in being strict. The Gemara answers, Koyach dehetera odifle. The koyach of being lenient, the strength required for being lenient is considered a sign of greater accomplishment. It's explained in the Mephorshim that in order to issue a ruling of leniency, you have to be a greater scholar than those who would otherwise be stringent. In other words, it's as we would say, it's easy to be strict, but in order to find a reason or a basis of being lenient, that requires greater scholarship. And that's what's intended here, that koyach de hetera odiflei, the Mishnah would prefer to show an extreme, or how far someone goes in the direction of leniency. Hence, the Mishnah featured the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in the case of the woman alone, where there's only one suffix. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, notice the diamond around Rabbi Yochanan, he is arguing with Reish Lakish. So the original question was, what would Rabbi Meir's stance be with regard to the case of Ish V'Isha Oimdin? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ki Omar Ki Komar Rabbi Meir, when does Rabbi Meir say that the woman is Tmeah B'chad Sveiko, when she is alone and there's only one Sufek? Avo B'Sveik Sveiko Lo Omar, but when you have a double Sufek, like is the case when you introduce the man into the picture, Rabbi Meir does not Mitama, rather he'll mitahir. Imkain, if this is true, listen, then why doesn't the Mishnah say in the case number two of the Mishnah where the woman and man were together, listen, it should have taught Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi mitarin. It should have said Rabbi Meir also is mitar along with Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara says in Hochinami, you're correct. It could have said Rabbi Meir. The ID the Solik mi Rabbi Yossi, and since the number two case of the Mishnah was coming off of Rabbi Yossi's comment, where in the Reisha Rabbi Yossi was featured last, So Posach b'derebi Yossi. So in the second part of the Mishnah, where we have our number two, it opened up with Reb Yossi. So that it's a more of a structural consideration. If the last opinion mentioned in the Reisha was Reb Yossi, so the first opinion in the Sefer is Rebbe Yossi, but not to the exclusion of Rebbe Meir on that point of a double suffix. Question: Rebbe Yossi b'chatzveiko metayer. Rebbe Yossi is willing to be metayer in the Reisha when there's only one suffix. B'sveik sveiko mibaya. Do I have to tell you that he would be metayer in a case of a double suffix? In other words, there seems to be a redundancy in the Mishnah, where if in the case of where the circumstances are more severe, and yet Rabbi Yossi is mekil, is lenient, like is the case in the Reisha, why do I need to be taught Rabbi Yossi's opinion in the Seifa? That would be obvious. The Gemara answers, Mahu tetemo hani mili di evet. The evet is post facto. It could be, had I not had the extra phrase in the Mishnah, the seifa of the Mishnah, I might have thought that the only reason Reb Yossi is mekil is because she already was involved with preparing food that had to be tahor. She was already in this asko betaras, avol lechatchila lo. But ruling on the at the outset to tell a woman that had urinated in a standing position and found blood in the water, we would not tell her go ahead and prepare the food, prepare the truma or the kachim. That's lechatchila lo. We wouldn't tell her go ahead and prepare the food. Call mashmalon from the extra phrase in the Mishnah, from the what we said before was redundancy. This is really called a Mishnah Yesera. We learn that Reb Yossi will say even lechatchila, a woman who had urinated and found water, she had urinated in a standing position and found dam, blood in the water, she can go ahead and be misasek betaras, all on the grounds that we are toila the blood on the May Raglayim, and hence she is not a Nida. Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. A Tanaic source will reflect the approach of Rabbi Yochanan. Ish ve'isha she'asu tzorchem l'socha seifel. Man and woman had relieved themselves into a bowl. V'nim sodam al hamayim. Blood was found on the water. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Matara. No, notice we've dashed underlined Rabbi Meir and the word Matarin, because this is really what we were focusing on, what we asked originally, what would Rabbi Meir's opinion be in this case. So here it says clearly that he's Matayer. Rabbi Shimon, Metame. Rabbi Shimon, though, is Metame. We go on with a second question, and as we mentioned in our introduction, this question will be focused on Shitas Rabbi Shimon. On the in the margin under our no say heading, we've indicated Shnei She'elos Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, two questions featuring two cases, the focus being according to Rabbi Shimon. Number one, Isha Yosheves Penimtza Dam, a woman who urinates in a seated position, we'll call it the more comfortable position, and she discovers blood in the water after having urinated. And number two, case of Ish V'isha yoshvin, not a woman alone, but a woman and a man. So now we turn to the Gemara, Ibaya Laho. Isha by herself. So it's a one suffix situation. However, yosheves, Mali Omar Rabbi Shimon. What would Rabbi Shimon's opinion be? Now, we should point out that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, when he appeared as a strict opinion, as a ruling the Chumrah. So the Gemara now asks, what would Rabbi Shimon say regarding a woman seated? Ki Omar Rabbi Shimon. The question has two sides, and as we mark off in general, we call this the Aleph O Dilma Beis structure. Ki Omar Rabbi Shimon, that when is it that Rabbi Shimon was metamed ba'imedes, when she's standing, the dochik lo alma, that creates this internal pressure that we described earlier, that would cause the backing up of the urine and hence bringing forth blood from the uterus area. Avol yoyshevas loy, but Rabbi Shimon would not mitame if she were seated when you don't have the backup svora. Oy dilma loshno, or maybe we make no distinction. Toshma desanya, we have the following Tanaic source: yoyshevas toile, if she urinates seated, so the blood that's discovered is associated with the urine. Oimedes eina toila, they're very rare. If she urinated standing, so we can't ascribe the blood to the urine, but rather she'll be tamea. Rabbi Yossi oimer benkach ubenkach toila. Rabbi Yossi is quite lenient and says that even in the standing situation, she can ascribe the blood found to the standing situation. She can ascribe the blood to the urine and not to the reproductive area. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ben Kach U Ben Kach Eino Toilo. Notice what we've done with our markings. We highlighted originally the word Yosheves and Rabbi Shimon and Eino Toilo. So that if our original question was the seated woman, can we be Toilo the Dam on the May Raglayim, he says no. So that Rabbi Shimon is Machmir even under these circumstances where you don't have too much grounds for suspicion that there was backup of urine to bring with it uterus related blood. Nevertheless, he remains Machmir. He bayalaho Ish v'isha yoshvin mali om Rabbi Shimon. Again, a question focused on Rabbi Shimon. What about a case where we introduce another element of doubt? This is the Sveika situation. What would Rabbi Shimon say here? Ki Omer Rabbi Shimon, when does Rabbi Shimon metame oimedes? That's when she's standing the dochik le'alma. And also, v'yoysheves, he's machmir even in the case of the woman who is seated, but she is by herself, the chad sofek. There's one doubt. So in the case of omedes, that's easy to see where someone will be machmir. In the case of Yosheves also, Rabbi Shimon is machmir because still there remains only one sofek, and the sofek being, did it come from the mocker, or did it come together with the urine? Avol b'sfeik sfeika lo yomar. But when you introduce another level of suffix, an additional suffix, namely the case where number one she's Yosheves, and number two there is a man in the picture, maybe he will be lenient. Oydilma loishno, or maybe here too he remains steadfast in his chumrah. Toshma, the Gemara responds, Kevan Yom Rabbi Shimon, from the language that Rabbi Shimon uses, that is Chezkas Domin Min Ha'isha, it's a given that blood comes from a woman. That woman is, it's part of her natural biological process to release blood. So Lo Shnoindin V'Lo Shno Yoshvin, it makes no difference whether they are standing, whether they are seated, and we might as well add, and makes no difference whether there's a man. He is like, he's not in the picture at all. This last explanation we see in the Rashi, who says, Toshma miditoni chazoka, from the fact that Rabbi Shimon uses the expression chazoka, which is an assumed status. So, Alma lo misafka dam beish klal, the possibility of the blood coming from the man is a non-existent element. The Mishnah. Hishila chaluka linochris oi linida harezu toilabo. A woman had loaned her garment to a Gentile or to a woman who was a nida, and then the owner wore the garment after having received it back from the people she loaned it to, and then she found a stain. So the Mishnah says the owner can ascribe the stain to the women that she had loaned it to, either to the Gentile or to the Nida, and she, the owner, will remain Tahora. Gimel Noshim Shalavshu Cholok Echad, three women who wore one garment, they took turns wearing it. or they sat on one bench, v'nimtza all of them. And then when they got up, they discovered a stain of blood. Kulon Timaeus, all three women will be Timaeus. Yoshu al Safsal shall Evan Oyal Itzdaba shall Merchatz. If the women sat on a stone bench or on a Itzdaba, a platform or a protrusion of the Merchatz of the bathhouse, Rabbi Nechemia Metaher. Rabbi Nechemia would declare the woman to be Tahora, the women to be Tahora. Shaya Rabbi Nechemia Omer, called over Sheino Mekabel Tumo, Eino Mekabel Ksomim. Anything that doesn't become Tame, for example, stone or the Itztaba of the Merchatz. So those are surfaces that don't, that the Gezerah of Ksomim was never said regarding them. So that they remain, we'll call Ksomim free, stain free. That means halachically stain free. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading where we feature Shitas Rav. Rav's opinion will be expressed here. Toilin Benochris, this ability for the owner of a garment who had loaned it to a Gentile to ascribe or attribute the stain to the Nochris, that's Rak im Yadinon Dehi Kvar Ruasa. That's only in the case of a Gentile woman that we know she has already had her own blood flow. And we've added Velo Sagi imhi ru'uyo liros ubevadai loy ketana. And it's not enough if she's simply of age to experience a blood flow, and certainly not if it's a case of a Gentile that's a minor that is too young to have had a blood flow in the first place. So that as far as Rav is concerned, the Mishnah that teaches that we can be toil on the Nachris, there has to be reasonable grounds for being toil on the Nachris. The Gemara, Omar Rav, Ben Nachris, we're at the top of Daf Samach, ha roi'o. This is a Gentile woman that we know she has already had a blood flow. Me, my, how do I know that that's the case of the Nachris in the Mishnah? Dumya de Nida, because she's taught alongside the Nida. Ma Nida de Kochazia, just like the Nida is a woman who had a blood flow. Af Nachris de Kochazia, so too the Gentile woman featured is a woman that had a blood flow. As we go on, we see Rav Sheshis' name underlined, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled, indicating a kasha that lasts, a question that lasts a few lines, with the, as is indicated by the descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara, Omar Rav Sheshis, Kinayim v'shachiv Rav, Omro laha shmaitza. Rav, in teaching what he did, must have said it when he was Nayim v'shachiv, when he was dozing off. Why? Desanya toila benochris, Rabbi Meir Omer benochris horuuyo liros. You have a Tanaic source that says you can ascribe a stain to the Gentile, like in the case we had of a garment having been loaned to the Gentile and then returned and worn by the owner and then discovering a stain. The Tanakhama says you can ascribe it to the Gentile woman that you loaned it to, and Rabbi Meir says, provided that she is of age where she's fit to see a blood flow. So in this particular source, Rabbi Meir appears to be a more strict opinion, a more limiting opinion. The Afilu Rabbi Meir lo kamela b'ruya liros. Even Rabbi Meir, who limits the choices of nochrios that you can be toilan, he says that she has to be of age to have experienced a blood flow. Avo roya lo isrif, but to know for sure that she had an actual blood flow, that we don't require. So Rav is based on nobody. And that's why Rav Sheshis feels that Rav said what he did when he was dozing off. Omar Rava, Rava responds. And you'll see in defense of Rav. Betisbara, first of all, Rabbi Meir lechumra, Rabbi Meir lekula. Rabbi Meir can't be an opinion of stringency in this context. Rabbi Meir, in this area, is actually a lenient opinion. Desanya, here you'll see a Tanaic source which says, Eino toila benochas, Rabbi Meir omer toila.
The Chachomim say you can't be toilet in a Nochris, and Rabbi Meir says you can. Rabbi Meir then is a lenient opinion. Well, Ve'lo Kashya Hach, then you'll ask, well, what about the source just before, where it appears that he is restrictive? The Gemara says, no, Tritzachi, the source above is explained thusly. It said in the source above, you toilet in Nochris. That was the Tanakama. So, Vehi Sheroya. You can be toilet in Nochris, provided she has seen a blood flow. And that, by the way, is like Rav. That's the defense of Rav. Rabbi Meir Omer, Beru'uyo, Lirois, V'afalpi, She'eno Roya. You can be toilet in Nochris, provided she's reached an age that she could see blood, that's expected for her to have a blood flow, even though she didn't actually have a blood flow. So that, at the end of the day, there is Maskonsa Gemara, the din of being toilet in Nochris is a reality. However, provided she's not a ketana. If she's a ketana, then we don't find anyone lemaskona that would say that you could be toila on such a nochris. However, if she has actually seen a blood flow, then everyone will agree you could be toila on her. And according to Rameir, even if she's simply reached the age of having a blood flow, you could be toila on her. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.